Vous êtes avec Radio SBS en français.
Great pleasure of welcoming on the French language program Di Fleming, who is the new honorary consul for Mauritius in Victoria.
Thank you so much. And I must begin with an apology that my French language skills are very poor. So English is my mother tongue.
I'm sure you'll be able to learn French from now on. We'll encourage you to do so by listening to us.
Well, I can begin by saying je m'appelle Diane Fleming.
It's perfect French. So it's a couple of months since you've been appointed in the role of honorary consul. How are you enjoying it?
It's exactly 7 months. You're absolutely right. I'm loving it. It's the role of honorary consul is a privilege. And the word honorary simply means that it's a role that one doesn't receive remuneration for. But the richness in this role is all about building relationships and being able to explore so many dimensions of the relationship between Australia and Mauritius. It's wonderful.
And tell us about some of the activities that you have been engaged in so far.
Some of the activities are very much bureaucratic. So imagine that you have a Mauritian here in Melbourne. They want to return to Mauritius for a special event and they find that their visa has run out. Their visa.
Or their Mauritian passport.
Absolutely. Their passport has expired. And that can be quite a surprise, especially when we all know that we need to travel with at least 6 months to keep our passport current. So there's the bureaucratic side of it. There's also doing due diligence and being able to make sure that the person in front of me is the person whom they say. So it's all of that support for the government. But it's much more. When you think the Mauritian diaspora here in Victoria is over 12,000 people. So one of the key roles is to build a relationship. So I've been to dinner dances. I've had meetings. I've been working with 3ZZZ in being able to share stories and speak with them within their program on a Saturday afternoon. I've been building a program with the Director of Education in Mauritius, and it's a story competition. And perhaps we can speak about that a little later, but it's about programs that build relationships between our nations. As well as that, there are requests regularly from business in Mauritius where people are wanting to build relationships and to actually grow their business in Australia. So it's about the research that comes from that. That's very exciting.
And we had a trade delegation that came out here last year. Are there any Mauritian trade delegations coming soon?
I spoke with Enterprise Mauritius when I was there a few weeks ago, and Enterprise Mauritius are coming to Australia in November, and they're focusing on jewellery and apparel. And at the moment, Melbourne isn't in their schedule, but I'm waiting for a briefing note because I would love them to come here, because I think we need to build on the relationships that have been formed in the past. The Board of Investment with Mauritius has also been to Melbourne on several occasions, and Ken Punasamy is the CEO, a dynamic man committed to the role. And so, yes, we need to continue to build those trade relationships for us to be able to expand. And education, of course, is another critical agenda for expansion.
And any visit by members of the Mauritian government scheduled for the not-so-distant future?
Well, for Australia generally, through the support and the vision of our Australian Minister for Foreign Affairs, the Honourable Julie Bishop, she made a commitment for Australia-Africa Week now 2 years ago. So another role I hold is acting chair of the advisory group for Australia-Africa relations. And so it is our hope that a number of Mauritian ministers, so we're hoping the Minister for Education and possibly the Minister for Foreign Affairs will come to Australia, but specifically Perth. So I can't make any promises about Melbourne, but you can imagine that that is very much part of my advocacy at this stage.
And I imagine you work in close collaboration with the Australian High Commission in Port Louis. As you mentioned, the Australian Foreign Affairs Minister, Julie Bishop, was there, I think, in September 2014.
Yes.
And so Australia works closely with Mauritius in the area of maritime security and also with the Indian Ocean Rim Association.
Most certainly. The Indian Ocean Rim Association is very important. I suppose if I just come back for a moment to Julie Bishop and to her commitment and her visitation. So the Australian government has an Australian High Commission in Mauritius, as you know. Mm-hmm. But as well as that, the High Commissioner has responsibility for three other countries. So Madagascar, the Seychelles, and depending on your language background, the Comoros. And so our Australian High Commissioner until Friday is Her Excellency Susan Coles. And she finishes her contract and she actually returns to Melbourne. And I'm rather hoping that down the track that you might interview her. Her French is wonderful, but her experience...
Absolutely, we'll be in touch.
I certainly would love to do that and connect you. But she's come to the end of 3.5 years and she has worked very hard, particularly pursuing the gender around the blue economy. So I did have the opportunity just a few weeks ago to speak to all of the trade, I guess, developers in Mauritius, so Enterprise Mauritius, the board, the Bilateral Trade Relations Group, etc., under the direction of the Secretary of Foreign Affairs, so Usha Dwaka Kanabadi. And in that conversation, we were able to remind each other that whilst Mauritius is a tiny island, it's real estate, including the blue economy, something like 2.4 million square kilometres. It's extraordinary.
It's huge.
So Mauritius is not tiny in my mind, nor is the impact of the influence and the desire of the Australian government to be connected.
And one question that I forgot to ask you at the beginning is... you're the honorary consul for Mauritius in Victoria, and I didn't ask you where the Mauritian consulate, the new Mauritian consulate, is based.
The new Mauritian consulate is based in Paran, so it's number 2 Kelvin Grove, and over the next couple of weeks, the signage, the consulate, will be up on our front fence. It's just that once my appointment was made, I was virtually on an aircraft. I spend 4 months of every year in Africa, and so I'm still able to do my work as Honorary Consul of Mauritius, but I also travel across 17 other countries of Africa doing my work. So I will be holding events at the consulate, and I've already hosted the CEO of Enterprise Mauritius and our former High Commissioner, Patrick Cavallo, who has now returned to Mauritius. But we are now awaiting with great excitement
for the new High Commissioner,
because Mrs. Treelock is the acting High Commission. She does a wonderful job, but we also understand once that appointment is made, it also matches up beautifully with the new appointment that's about to be made in Mauritius with the new Australian High Commissioner. But at the moment, that name is embargoed, so I'm not allowed to say.
No, we'll keep it as a surprise.
Yes.
And Di Fleming, you're also the executive director of the Dusser Foundation. Can you please tell us about that?
Yes, I am the executive director. The Dusser Foundation began almost 6 years ago. I was invited by a young man who'd just sold a business for a lot of money to answer a question. And he said, "My family have everything they could need. I want to do something in Africa. I want to do something particularly for African children." So at that time, I was president of the Australia-Africa Business Council, which then became the Chamber of Commerce. We met, and before I could blink, I found myself the CEO of Dusser, which is a tertiary business. And then they asked me whether I would build a foundation. So over the last 5 and a bit years, we have now built the Dusser Foundation, beginning in Botswana, expanding to Zambia, and now today we expand from Sierra Leone to Ethiopia, to Hawassa, to Addis Ababa, and then we come south through Tanzania and on to South Africa, Madagascar, Mauritius. So the foundation concentrates on one major program. When I first began visiting Africa now a decade ago, And when Matt Jacobson also visited Africa and we went into schools, we realised that if a school did have a library, which was rare, the stories that were collected and held in the library were stories that had been written by Europeans. So we have made a passionate commitment to work with education ministers, including Mauritius, to work with children and to begin to capture the best stories. So now, and I have in my hand, stories from a number of African countries, but we now have 41 collections from 17 countries, stories written by African children, for African children, to be shared across the globe. And our dream now is for the third collection of Mauritian stories to be presented on the 12th of March next year, which will be part of the Golden Jubilee. So we are hoping that on the Sunday evening of 11th of March, we will stand at the foot of the eight flagpoles here in Federation Square. We will raise the eight flags of Mauritius, and on that occasion, we are going to present the Golden Jubilee collection, and we hope we will be surrounded by the Mauritian diaspora. So our role is very much capturing stories from the imagination, stories from real life, but just as importantly, as the digital world has taken over, the stories around fires, the stories at night around dinner table are being lost. And so what we are doing is preserving the oral tradition of Mauritius and Madagascar and Ethiopia so that these stories will be held forever. So that is the main agenda of the foundation of which I'm passionate, excited, and maybe one day we can share more of those stories with you.
And what are some of the modalities of the competition?
The age group is from 10 to 14. The length also builds in the opportunity. If a child is both a wonderful writer and an illustrator, then we can capture both the word and the illustration. At this stage, we are actually unsure about the first and second and third prizes, but they will be announced very soon. But we are inviting children here in the Mauritian diaspora, not just in Melbourne, but around Australia, which is a real breakthrough. So this is what we're inviting young children to do. We invite you to sit at the knees of your elders. Could be a neighbour, a grandparent. But we want to capture the stories of elders who lived in Mauritius before independence. So these people will need to be in their late 60s, 70s, 80s, because to get those stories and to be able to relate those, then, of course, age is critical. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful for us to be able to share age, because this is when it's truly an advantage. So the children will sit at the knees of their elders and ask them to tell stories about those times. Those stories can be written in Creole. They could be written
in French.
English. Yes, they could be written in any language, the language of the family, and then translated into English. However, depending on the outcome, it may well be that we can publish the stories both in English and in Creole, because if it is going to preserve that oral tradition, we would also like to preserve the first language of the story in which it was told.
And they haven't got much time.
No. In fact, the date has been extended to August the 31st. But so if there are people in our audience now who would like to respond and work with their children or young neighbours, and there is a story ready, then those stories can be sent directly to me. And my email address is dif@ducere.co. And we would be delighted to receive the story. I also am very happy. My mobile number is 0402-459-012. If you'd like to chat about the stories, the competition first, feel welcome, and then I can also put people in touch with my colleague Daniel Dalpio. But as we have this competition here in Australia, so the competition is in Mauritius. And so the head of curriculum, Mrs. Anita Gura, who's a dear friend and a passionate believer in this program, is also running the program across Mauritius, and it's being extended to every government school across the country.
We are speaking a few hours after the launch of the inaugural African Diaspora Women's Summit in Melbourne. Would you be able to tell us more about it?
Well, this morning, in fact, my invitation was to be part of a panel. And in fact, I was there at the launch this morning rather than giving a presentation. Let me share a little about the opening, about the launch. It was a moment where when one looked around, we were absolutely face to face with the reality of our African diaspora, but also of men and women. Whilst this conference is the launch of the women, African women diaspora, I think it was absolutely wonderful. Well, I know it was wonderful to see Dr. Mimi Watts. It was her initiative and colleagues. It was supported by the Vice Chancellor of Victoria University and also enthusiastically embraced by Bruce Atkinson, who is the President of the Legislative Council of Victorian Parliament. And I think Bruce's words were a reminder to all of us that when we call Australia our home, it is indeed that. It is our home. But I think that Australians who were born here need to do a better job in understanding difference, in coming to terms with seeing that our difference comes with it culture, language, experience, cultural gaps, and also I think we need to do a better job of understanding the youth of our diaspora. It's been my observation for a long time that if we don't understand or if we don't know, we don't understand. It's a bit like when you're studying physics or chemistry. Unless you actually experiment with your own hands, then you don't understand. And Richard Feynman would say that. I think in terms of our diaspora, and this is why I'm so thrilled to be the Honorary Consul, we need to do a better job of immersing ourselves rather than taking on opinions that are outmoded and need to be broken down. I think there are many young, particularly African young men, who are caught between two cultures, and we need to do a better job of embracing them. And that came out of conversations that I had early this morning before this conference began. So today was an opportunity of bringing many networks, including the Mauritian diaspora, in the company this morning, for us to come together to understand what do we need to do. We've got to stop talking about the situation, and every single one of us needs to take action. So I guess I would like to comment about the white paper of AGAR, the Advisory Group for Australia-Africa Relations. Three of those agendas include trade, the position of women, and indeed the diaspora. And I know our government are very keen to build programs that articulate the recommendations to better enhance our understanding of each other, with each other, through each other.
Di Fleming, thank you very much for coming on to the French language program, and our very best wishes as the Honorary Consul for Mauritius in Victoria.
Thank you so much for having me.
Votre communauté, vos conversations. SBS French.